NFL draft day is here, and with the Texans holding the 23rd pick overall, GM Brian Gain feels like free agency has set his team up very well for the draft tonight.
We were able to address some situations in free agency, and free agency is certainly more of a needs-driven environment. And we felt like we were able to add some pieces to the puzzle here to help us come into this draft and to be in position to take the next best player. So we're pleased with some of the things we did in free agency. And now we're positioned here in the draft, I think, to go back to this just to get four players in the top 86. We hope at some point in time all four of those players would be starters or eventual starters if you're drafting them in the first three rounds. So we have an opportunity here, and we have every intention of getting it right, to potentially get four new starters here in 7 days' time.
All right, so that obviously begins tonight at 23. Right now, with 12 hours to go, our coverage begins. It's underway now, but the official Texans radio coverage gets going at 6 p.m. with Mark Vandermeer, John Harrison, all. What do you guys want them to do at number 23?
I want them to take an offensive tackle, but I don't want them to stretch too far out of their comfort zone. So there are the three top guys, that we've talked about a whole bunch. And if you get down and those three guys are gone and you're sitting there looking at Cody Ford from Oklahoma, he's not my ideal first-round pick at offensive tackle, and he'd probably be paying right tackle, but at least that solves one of your issues, hopefully long-term. I'm okay with taking one of those guys, like reaching a little bit or stretching a little bit. Maybe the Texans trade back a couple spots and still get one of those guys. If not, I know last week I said they absolutely have to draft an offensive tackle or I'm going to flip the hell out. I've come to my senses a little bit. If your good prospects are gone, and especially if like four or five offensive tackles are gone already by the time you pick 23, I'd be completely fine with them taking a cornerback, and I'd get excited about whichever guy was there, because I'm guessing it's going to be Greedy Williams or Rocky Sin or one of these other guys that should go late in the first round. And that's something that, okay, they've got upside, I can watch this guy, I can get excited about him, and off to the races we go.
So if they go with a tackle early on, I won't be mad, especially if they don't have to trade up to get a tackle at pick number 23. If I'm Brian Gain, I am calling the Arizona Cardinals a lot today about whether or not that 23rd overall pick would be enough to go get Patrick Peterson away from the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
That to me is, and I'll explain more about it at 7 o'clock, but that to me, I mean, that makes you have a better chance at winning something this coming season, no matter what John McClain might have said yesterday. But like you, Seth, should Rockyson be available at 23? I would not hate it if they picked him. Might be a little early to take a Rockyson or a Justin Lane from Michigan State, who I watched film on yesterday, and I got
fell in love
pants
with Justin Lane.
They're both very similar in that they're physical. They like to come up to the ball. I will say this
they are
about
physical. They seem like Steelers or Ravens types of players,
I
right?
Think that's fair.
Like that's what which and that's what I want. Well, I want a Steelers type of Steelers of old. And not a Steelers cornerback necessarily, because they're not actually all that good usually. Okay.
We touched on Rocky
Sin. But the attitude.
Yassin played a lot of man coverage at Temple. Lane played zone. He played man. He came up, hits guys too. He's 6'1" and I think 3/4 as well. He's got a lot of things going for him that makes me feel like he is kind of the epitome of what the Texans like at cornerback just based off the last couple of years. He might be available round two, though. But for me, optimally, I want to trade number 23 for Patrick Peterson. I don't know if the Cardinals would accept that. I think you have, though, if you're going to get Patrick Peterson, if you're going to trade for him, you're going to have to give up a first-round pick.
I want Andre Dillard. If it costs a trade-up for a couple spots, 5, 6, 7, I'm willing to live with the consequences. I think this guy was made by God to play in front of Deshaun Watson.
Mm.
Listen, nobody cares about how healthy Kirk Cousins is or Josh Allen or these or Matt Stafford or any of these guys on these teams. The nation cares about the health of Deshaun Watson. We need Deshaun Watson healthy. I want Andre Dillard.
I like that you're getting in touch with your spiritual side.
Absolutely.
You go to church on Easter, and now all of a sudden you're saying, claiming that God created Andre Dillard specifically
stretch,
for Deshaun Watson. Well, I mean, if you believe in predestination and whatnot,
see what happens in 15 hours.
Yeah, it's likely.
Next headline, it was a very tight Game 5 at Toyota Center last night between the Rockets and the Jazz, but Chris Paul and James Harden ultimately put Utah away.
Capella screen, Paul thinking three, firing three, got the three! Chris Paul right between the eyes! Angles with it. The following prepare, he's tripped to the ball! Another Utah turnover!
The Rockets pulled away late for a 7-point win. That, of course, Kevin Harlan on TNT. They win 193 advance in the first round. Now, afterwards, a lot of discussion about the team we think that are going to play Golden State with Clint Capela and Chris Paul at the podium.
What do you think about the possibility of facing the Warriors in the next round, facing them again?
Yeah,
in the
that's what I want. I want to face them. And,
oh, man, you're going to be all over Bleacher Report, man.
No, man.
It's cool, though. It's what it is.
We're going to get ready for that. We've been working on it all year long. So, I think that if you want to be the champion, you got to be the champion. So, at some point, you got to do it, right?
Yep, make sure y'all put that, too.
Now, the Warriors lost last night to the Clippers, 129-121. So they're going to have to play on the road in a couple of days. But with the Rockets, I'm thinking the Warriors won't lose this series. Does this team look ready for the Warriors right now?
They don't look ready for last year's Warriors. Do they look ready for this year's Warriors? 2-2 versus the Clippers? Sure.
Two home losses.
The Oracle hasn't been really all that intimidating all year long. I'm not happy with the way the last three games have gone for the Rockets.
I agree.
I admire their grit and their toughness, and I think Chris Paul has brought a certain something to this team that you wouldn't have seen the last few years. Up until Chris got here last year, it's kind of been a steady build to where it's a tougher team now. I like all that. I like that they're able to win ugly slog basketball games, but I don't like the fact that they couldn't just summarily dispatch the Utah Jazz more effectively than this. 3-1 is one thing, but 3-1 when three of those games were real nail biters and hairy and kind of ugly, I don't like that.
Look, they haven't played well those last three games, and I'll be honest, I think it's a little out of character for a Swissman to be speaking words of aggression. This is a country famously neutral. His words were not neutral. They were aggressive, and I feel like that will end up costing Clint Capela because, you know, you don't declare war if you're a Swissman.
You know what, though? A bunch of our listeners showed us, some evidence of, Swiss military toughness. Like, they are all, they're actually potentially badasses. They're almost like the guy that's too good at fighting and doesn't give a damn. So he's just sitting up in the side of the bar watching all the carnage.
Famously, the Swiss were usually the guards of popes back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do we have a pope we can guard with Clint Capela?
Is James Harden our pope?
Kind of, the last few days.
Sort of.
It's like he's sort of mostly been. It's like, yeah.
He's being attacked by all corners.
He had 26 points last night after starting off, what was he?
1-for-11.
What has he been in the first quarter of the last two games?
Not great.
Yeah.
Last couple of games.
That's the kind of stuff you can't get away with versus the Warriors. That's what's scary as hell. But also the Warriors have not looked like themselves all season. They certainly don't look like themselves right now. So that's exciting. And then Rudy Gobert doesn't play for the Warriors. So like that funky defense where you just allow James Harden the floater, that's not going to be as effective versus James Harden.
Warriors seem more vulnerable, but for me, the Rockets need to ramp up the level of play a little bit if they want to beat the Warriors coming up next, assuming that happens. Next headline, 8 dominant innings for Justin Verlander. Astros rout the Twins last night 7-1. They win that 3-game series. Home runs for Carlos Correa, Michael Brantley, and Josh Reddick on the night.
Well, when we're at our best, we get a little bit of action everywhere. The Chirinos double in the 8 hole, obviously the Brantley homer was big. Reddick's oppo homer was big for him, for he can continue this approach that he's had. He's been nearly perfect for the first month of the season. Correa kickstarting us, so the homer off the foul pole in right field. So it, when in the middle of the order, at the end of the order, everywhere in between, when we're at our best, we're tough to get through, doesn't matter where we're at. So I like that part of it, that there was a lot of contributions. It wasn't one guy having a four-hit night and multiple homers. I like those nights too, but I like when our entire lineup has something to contribute to the night.
My quick thought, this offense has been so much fun to watch, especially lately. They've got like 7 guys with an OPS over 1. I mean, it's been absolutely insane recently.
7 guys, not for the season, over 1, just over the last week or two.
No. Over the season. I'm looking at it right
now. When did that happen? I was looking at him yesterday. There weren't that many guys over 1.
I'm looking at it right now. Altuve, Springer, Brantley, Correa, Bregman, Reddick, Robinson, Chirinos. It's not going to last for all these guys, obviously. Reddick and Chirinos, most likely. But my God, I mean, they're hitting the ball like crazy right now. Even in the loss on Sunday, obviously, to Texas, they were hitting the ball well. This offense has been terrific.
You know how come I'm looking at Astros sortable stats and there's not a single guy over a 1 OPS?
That is strange.
This is strange, Mike. I don't like how much you've been wrong this morning. Unless the I'm looking at it right now.
Okay. I feel like
is MLB screwing me over? Because remember, I was wrong the other day on I was wrong on McHugh's ERA the other day too.
That's right.
It's MLB.com. What are you on, ESPN?
Yeah.
You guys want to criticize ESPN?
The worldwide leader.
They know what the hell they're doing when it comes to box scores and everything. Their play-by-play in football sucks. This is the only thing that matters, Mike. One, Tywin Bauer. Coming to town tomorrow. Tywin Bauer will be pitching tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
The big deal. Rivalry.
Garrett, former teammate at UCLA. Two men who used to despise each other, but it might have cooled off a little bit. You got Garrett Cole v. Tywin, Tyler, Tygog, whatever
Tywin.
You want to call him.
Huh? Tywin's too much respect for
Tywin
him.
Tywin's a badass.
Tywin's the greatest character in the history of Game of Thrones.
So Trevor Bauer comes to town tonight.
Tyler Bauer, right? Okay. That's what we call him?
We do, but then I get corrected by people, and I'm like, all right.
Listen,
fine.
We're just calling him what the other Astros are calling him. Yeah, we're calling him what Bregman called him, okay? Get it right. Be a part of Team Stros, okay?
This is a four-game series that begins tonight.
Hashtag Mike, take it back.
Take it back. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Thursday. Time now for Move Seth's Needle.
This was actually a good week for me, actually feeling things, feeling real emotions, feeling real actual, like almost tearing up a few times. So it was fun for me. One, I'll start in reverse order, and I'll start from last night, where I kind of unexpectedly at the end of the Rockets game got like really, really, really excited about that victory. Even though the Rockets haven't looked like themselves, how long has it been since you were genuinely excited about a round one victory by the Rockets? It was kind of
it's always a lot of relief. It's hard for me to watch the first round because there's like no upside and all downside.
All right, I went to the wrong person.
Yes, you did.
This is the thing I got excited about. Usually after round one, you're not going to face the Warriors. Like this is a team in the Rockets that for the last few years it's been, man, you're awesome, except you've got this damn pest that's the Warriors. I love that they're seeing this early. I love that even though the Rockets didn't look the way we want them to look when they're facing their round one opponent, and there's a whole lot to clean up, they're also facing the Warriors in just kind of the same scenario that we had hoped for. If you're going to face the Warriors in round two, maybe the Warriors aren't quite in playoff form. Maybe Chris Paul is still really healthy. And did you see Chris Paul in the fourth quarter? Not his actual production, but the way he moved. The way he attacked there inside of 2 minutes, that one last possession. Yep. It was a nice shot. It didn't go in. But, my God, that was almost vintage Chris Paul
moving. He had some big shots.
So at the end of the game last night, I was like, holy crap. Oh, crap. They're going to see the Warriors, most likely, unless they do something and blow this game versus the Clippers tonight. And lo and behold, they did, which is even better because the Warriors are going to be more tired. The Warriors are not looking like themselves at all. Remember, it used to be, oh, the only team that can even challenge the Durant Warriors is the Houston Rockets. Now you got the LA damn Clippers doing it. Very, very excited about this. On the flip side of things, I actually teared up for a couple times for the very first time while watching Game of Thrones
ever?
On Sunday night. I never teared up watching Game of Thrones. No part of it's ever
That's
made
really
me feel emotional.
Me.
And for those that don't listen to it, don't worry. This will be relatable. There was a scene of being reunited where a character Theon and a character Sansa saw each other for the first time in a couple years, and these two had gone through quite a bit. He may have tried to kill her brothers at some point, and then she found out that, no, she didn't. He may have, like, gotten her even more beaten and everything. Like, he sold her out of you. But anyway, it all worked out. They see each other, and, like, this caught me by surprise, too. They give this huge embrace, and it's kind of redemption for this character, Theon.
Yes.
And it made me tear up a little bit, but it also made me realize, oh, Theon's gonna die for sure. Definitely gonna die.
Most likely.
Everyone with redemption is dying tomorrow on Sunday.
Anybody like, they had to get this out of the way before they killed everybody.
Complete all the arcs.
I guess the relatable thing for people that don't watch Game of Thrones is that feeling of like, when you're watching a movie and you've watched movies or read books long enough to realize like, oh, this guy's definitely gonna die. I almost wish I didn't have that. You get that sense for when people are gonna die. The other part was when Jamie, a man who once attempted to murder a 10-year-old, sure, but the guy didn't die.
He's a good guy.
Family.
Don't worry.
A man who killed his own cousin,
for love.
When he really didn't have to either to escape from jail. He could have just beat him up a little bit.
Things we do for love.
He murdered his cousin to escape from jail for 8 hours. But now we all love him. Now he's like one of our favorite characters. He very platonically gave a woman that he respected a huge, huge gift in knighting her. The fact, this is what I like to see about this. A lot of people have wondered, like, whether the, I've never felt this. Some people wondered whether there was sexual or romantic tension between Jaime Lannister and Brienne of Tarth.
Brienne's
and
front, yes.
I feel like anybody that suspected that also needs to be watched closely for Me Too crimes. She never gave him any, like, actual sexual signals or anything. Well, maybe her, she did on his part. He was never going to do it with Brienne.
I don't think he, yeah, I think they're on different levels.
But I think she would.
I think she would, too.
Cersei, like, at Joffrey's wedding, comes up, and she's like, you love my brother, don't you?
I think she's asexual. I think she's just kind of, asexual. Yeah, she's not lesbian, she's not hetero, she's just asexual. So there's that, and then also this, Jake Mariznick. I cannot tell you how much I love watching Jake Mariznick run on a baseball.
He's such a great athlete.
Diamond. In the outfield, wherever he is, and every time I'm watching him, and as we approach the draft this evening, I love having him on the Astros, but I feel for his own personal well-being, somebody at some point should have stopped being a damn racist and said, hey, Jake, you might have a future as a wide receiver instead of a baseball player. He's 6'3", 225.
Yep, perfect.
You can't tell me he's not fast enough to be a wide receiver. His ability to track balls and go after them and dive after them, he's making, I think, less than $2 million a year this year. As a baseball player, and I love having him here. I really wish he would have been better served being a wide receiver somewhere else. Even when I bring it up, people are like, oh, yeah, maybe he could be a tight end if he gained weight. Why? Tell me why Jake Mariznick was not coaxed into being a wide receiver at some point in his career. I looked up his high school stats. I think he had like 50 or 60 receptions his senior season high school. Like, he wasn't good.
He has very much of a Jeff Samardzija, former Notre Dame receiver kind of build.
Nice reference.
And Samardzija was a really good college receiver.
You got to go back to Samardzija.
What's wrong with that?
That's a good analogy, I think. I think it's a good player comp.
I love it.
I think so.
Okay.
Mad Radio, Mike Steffenball. All right, so we are live tonight.
White guy with a long hair.
My name is Jeff.
It's a good analogy.
It's like it's the very thing I was just talking about, like a white guy with long hair who played baseball.
Daryl
like,
Morey.
Like, okay, why?
Check that analogy.
Why did the white guy? Yeah, I would at least like, as I'm saying, like obviously, Mariznick didn't play baseball because people were like, or didn't play football because people were like, well, you look more like a baseball player than a wide receiver, dude. He would have been a glorious wide receiver.